This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. On the eve of the visit of the lifetime General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, if we understand the extension of Xi Jinping's term, to lead the party, to lead the army, to lead the People's Republic of China's people. He is due in Moscow within hours to visit Vladimir Putin, also a man who has been in power for many years, and we do not expect that to change. Their conversation is critical for understanding where the war in Europe goes next, and I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on the point of view of Moscow as it awaits Xi Jinping, as it anticipates more and bloody-minded fighting ahead in Ukraine, and as it struggles with the oil and natural gas market, not that it doesn't have customers, but that its profits on those sales are completely diminished. Professor, a very good evening to you. Moscow's point of view, expecting Xi Jinping to arrive. Please, good evening to you.
Good evening, sir. The first point I would make is that this visit is extremely important. And one way we know that is that the United States has really done everything in her power to prevent it from happening. Furthermore, there are people in China who feel very strongly that China should reopen her connections with Western Europe and the United States because they are the countries that have money and China is bankrupt. However, what all these views underestimate is Mr. Xi's character. First of all, Mr. Xi doesn't care about economics. He cares about politics and power. And I think that we have to understand that he instinctively wants to be seen as a tough guy, a strong, you know, one of the silverback gorillas of international relations. And he's going to Moscow as a way of establishing a connection which will propel him into that league. The other thing I think we have to remember is that both Moscow and China, People's Republic, need to, they are not in good shape, either of them, but they have no other place to turn than one another. It's not as if China had the option of turning to America, which spent most of the last 40 years building her up only to discover that it hadn't been such a great investment after all, and Russia, which is now, it's been under a cloud for some time. I say this because the West and the Western commentators are tending to downplay. What they say is that Mr. Xi is trying to distance himself from Putin by being presenting himself as a peacemaker. About a couple of weeks ago, they presented a 12-point plan for ending the Ukraine war, which is what you'd expect from a man who has a primary school education, although he probably didn't write it. Mr. Wang Wenbin, who is the spokesman for the Chinese Foreign Ministry, has, however, in his press conference on Friday, he's made some interesting points. One seems to confirm the Western idea that Xi isn't really going to align with Russia. He said President Xi's visit will be a trip for peace on the basis of no alliance, no confrontation, and no targeting of any third party. China and Russia will continue to practice true multilateralism. What that means, if I could just interpret it, means that Russia and China will work together to overthrow the existing international system, which most recently showed its remaining teeth by indicting Mr. Putin as a war criminal, which is a good start. Mr. Wang also said, and it's interesting that nobody picked this up in the press as far as I can see, he confirmed that arms deliveries to Russia were already underway. All he said was that China is very responsible and cautious and follows the rules in all of its business dealings, including arms deliveries. Well, that was a confirmation, in other words, that China is supplying weapons to Russia. And it's inconceivable to me that Mr. Putin would be arranging for a massive state banquet, I think, on Tuesday, and a tremendous VIP reception for Xi, unless he had not just a promise of weapons, but he had some that had already arrived. Because this is, he has no interest in just playing, you know, just chit-chatting with the Chinese. Now, Russia's position is relatively weak. It's clouded by their inability to take Bakhmut despite immense attacks. They also have a problem in Moscow that there is a clear fissure emerging between the mercenary Wagner troops and the Ministry of Defense. And there are also Chechen troops, that are another component. So there are sort of three armed forces, and Putin is unwilling to leave anybody in charge of the Russian army very long. He keeps rotating the people in. Napoleon said, one bad general is better than two good generals. So what you do is you put a general in and then you leave him for a while. Putin's internal position, of course, is tremendously weakened because the image that he seeks to present is a safe pair of hands, somebody who's steering the great Russian ship of state through rough seas, but without any danger. Yet here he is confronting one of the worst defeats in Russian history. So what do we see in the Russian-Chinese relationship now? The Russians, we know, are sending plutonium to China to help China with her massive buildup in the number of hydrogen bombs that she has. And plutonium they can make, but you need plutonium for the detonator of an H-bomb. And it's easier if the Russians supply it. And the Chinese are supplying weapons to Russia. We're not sure exactly what, but there's a drone was picked up the other day that had the name of a factory in Fujian on it. So that means something. Now, I think that what the Russians are doing, they're confronting the U.S. more directly. We've been trying to keep this at a distance. And I think the White House is terrified of nuclear confrontation,
Let me mention the incident during the week. Professor, there was the immediate remarks by the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that the incident was not an act of war. In any event, it puzzled people why a Russian warplane deliberately brought down a surveillance drone that was clearly in international waters over the Black Sea. That was seen as a provocation by some, as a prank by others. And I also mentioned that Vladimir Putin, anticipating the visit by Xi, darted to Crimea to visit with schoolchildren and darted back to Moscow. Two efforts by the Russians that you could say were taunting. Please continue.
So I think just on that downing of the drone, what the Russian aircraft did is really quite remarkable, and it is almost an exact repeat of a maneuver of a similar incident about 10 years ago. That is, that somehow the pilot was skillful enough to be able to tap the drone in a way that disabled its propellers without, as usually happens, destroying his own plane and collapsing. It was very, very well executed on the Russian side. Now, this is an example, as you say, of taunting. And clearly Russia wants to escalate because that's the only way that they can win. And we have wanted to avoid coming in confrontation with Russia. So we have, our policy has been to keep Ukraine from losing, but we don't want them to win either. So Putin right now has only extreme options. Of course, he could bring his troops home tomorrow and everybody would be happy, but he's not going to do that. He's going to push it up, ratchet it up one more, and that means that he is going to embrace China. And I think China is going to reciprocate. But this war with China and Russia involved is going to become much, much more dangerous.
I'm speaking with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, the five capital points of view. And today, the sixth point of view will turn to the American presidential elections already underway for 24. Right now, we turn to Beijing, that Xi Jinping is leaving behind him as he travels to Moscow. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.